I'm Evan Knappen, and welcome to Gun Lawyer. I have a really interesting loophole to share with you today, and I love loopholes. Loopholes are simply freedom finding the way. And you see, loopholes end up carving out freedom, and often they can carve it out so much that they can give us back what the loophole was getting us around. And I've seen that occur in a number of instances. One example for you to consider is the National Firearms Act requirements. Used to be, when you'd buy a machine gun, silencer, suppressor, etc., destructive device, you would do your NFA paperwork, and it would be the registration, and you'd be looking to get your tax stamp and all. And one of the requirements was that the chief law enforcement officer had to sign off on your paperwork. And if the chief law enforcement officer didn't want to sign it for any reason, maybe they just didn't think anyone should have one of these things, and they just didn't want to sign it, there was nothing you could do to force them to sign it. And what happened was, it was figured out that if you were purchasing or acquiring NFA and you did it by way of a trust, there was no CLE or chief law enforcement officer sign off for a trust. So what got created became known as the NFA trust. And individuals would be acquiring NFA using a trust, which was also good for estate planning, so that individuals could inherit your NFA item. But what the trust did was make it so there was no more CLE involvement in it. No, chief law enforcement officer's involvement. And that way you couldn't be stopped. And it was extremely successful and effective. And so about 10,000 NFA trusts later, ATF decided to finally get rid of that rule that they wouldn't have gotten rid of before. And they changed it so that when you get anything NFA, the chief law enforcement officer is given notice, but their sign-off is not required. So it actually created and got rid of that requirement, gaining freedom for NFA. Now, of course, in New Jersey, you're not able to buy anything NFA because New Jersey prohibits machine guns and suppressors and destructive devices. But in other places in free America where you can have those things, the loophole ended up killing the sign-off requirement that often could be troublesome for folks. And we also have seen loopholes, even in the development of technology, overcome various bans and prohibitions on things. A good one is on switchblade knives. Switchblades were prohibited in the 50s by way of a federal law, but they're not prohibited from possession under federal law. They're prohibited from interstate transport. And so if you live in a state where they were legal, you could have them. There was a workaround for federal law so that bona fide dealers could sell them. But if you lived in a state where they were prohibited, you couldn't own them. And the advent of the assisted opening knife really went far to fighting the anti-switchblade laws, because an assisted opener opens by way of a spring assist. So when you push the tab on the blade, the knife opens about 30% manually, and then the rest of the way opens automatically. And it almost appears to be what is a switchblade, but it's not a switchblade because it doesn't have a button or other device in the handle. It's integral to the spring mechanism, and there is no button or other device in the handle. And there was an explosion of assisted openers being sold. You could even buy them in Walmart, for that matter. And because they became so accepted and understood and recognized, that when the fight came to repeal anti-switchblade laws, people were more understanding about it, having seen the utilitarian value of a one-hand opening knife. And these laws were able to drop like flies, beginning in 2010 in New Hampshire, where I helped spearhead the first repeal, modern age repeal of state switchblade laws. Since then, I lost track of how many states are actually 26, 27, 8, 9, I lost track how many, have repealed their switchblade laws with the good work of knife rights. And given other states that didn't have prohibitions, there's only a handful that still even prohibit switchblades. And, of course, New Jersey still does, but most states don't. Now, there are ways in New Jersey to even lawfully own a switchblade, and I've won cases on that, but generally don't possess them. They're known as per se weapons, but there is an exemption in the statute, and if you can meet it, then there's a way to lawfully have it. But this show isn't about switchblades. It's more about the impact of loopholes. And I have a really interesting loophole to share with you that has to do with the sensitive places that were put into Murphy's Carry Killer Law. You may recall the Carry Killer Law was passed in response to the Bruin decision. And the Bruin decision removed justifiable need from carry permits, basically mandated that they be essentially shall issue. So New Jersey now had to issue permits, so they only want to do that kicking and screaming. So because of that, they figured, well, we can't stop permits from being issued, so let's see how dramatically and drastically we can limit their utilitarian value by creating, you know, 25 sensitive places and all these restrictions. The Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs then litigated. They're at the forefront of the litigation. We're able to knock out a number of those provisions, and it's on appeal. The appellate court reinstituted temporarily some of the enjoined provisions. We're still in a big fight. Hopefully, we're going to wipe out most of these. But in the time being, there's still a number of these sensitive places that we have to suffer under. And I found a very interesting loophole that I want to share with you regarding sensitive places. Now, the sensitive places restrictions are found in New Jersey law under NJS 2C 58.4.6. And under that first subsection, it lists all the places that we've discussed in detail in other shows. And they can become tricky and troublesome for folks. And what brought my attention to this was individuals that wanted to protect their house of worship. Now, houses of worship themselves are not a sensitive place. There's no prohibition on carrying your handgun properly concealed, loaded with a carry permit in a house of worship. They are a public place. They are considered private property, but public places that are private property that are open to the public are currently not prohibited under the sensitive places restrictions. So there's no specific house of worship prohibition, and the public place, if it's open to the public, that's been enjoined as well, the half of it that applies to places open to the public. Now, if it's private property not open to the public, like your friend's house, for example, then you have to get consent before you go there carrying your gun. But if it's open to the public, you don't. So it looks pretty good on its face for houses of worship to be able to have individuals there carrying, being able to protect their congregation and folks that go there. The problem is that many of these religious places have schools. So they may have various religious classes, schools, nursery schools even, daycare centers, etc., summer camps that are there on the property that are separate sensitive places. And so how can these places protect themselves? And in answering that question, I realized that there's a broader application for this loophole. So let's talk about the loophole itself. So you can find that, and you can read it for yourself under NJS 2C 58-4.6, small letter E as in Evan. If you go to that subsection there, it reads as follows. Nothing in this act shall be construed to prohibit the holder of a valid and lawfully issued permit under NJS 2C58-4, who is lawfully authorized to provide security at a place enumerated in subsection A of this section, which are the sensitive places, from carrying a firearm openly or concealed, provided that the authorization is set forth in writing, and only to the extent permitted by the entity responsible for security at the place in question. So just focusing for a moment on houses of worship, if they want to have a security team or individual folks that belong to that particular religious institution, if they want to have those folks carry to protect their people, they simply need to have the entity responsible for security at the place, which could be the person who's in charge of the church or synagogue or mosque, or the person who owns the place, or the entity that does. Whoever that entity is who's responsible for security, they can put in writing authorizing those persons with carry licenses, and then they're able to carry openly or concealed under this statute in the providing of the security, and they're able to go into the sensitive places otherwise, which would include the schools, the camps, the nursery schools, etc., that are part of that facility. But you see, that exemption, which is really great because our religious institutions need to protect themselves in the face of the various terrorist acts that take place, particularly against Jews and against Christians and against Muslims, as we see happening, you can take advantage of this in your own religious institution. But beyond that, what makes this really interesting is it applies to any sensitive place where the entity responsible for security sets forth in writing the ability here for the security to be provided. And that got me thinking. So if a sensitive place decides via their entity responsible for security to put up a sign, for example, in writing, because a sign is in writing, it's written, a written sign saying that anybody who has a SORA card and a carry permit, because the SORA card is how you lawfully provide security in New Jersey, then that person would be able to provide security, and they could say provide security while in attendance here for free to the institution is authorized to carry, and they could say concealed on their person, and therefore they could then allow concealed carry even at a sensitive place like a bar or a restaurant that serves alcohol or an entertainment venue or any of the sensitive places where such written authorization would cover it under that section to get around that section. So when you look at the SORA law, which is the registration requirement for security officers, go to C45:19A-4, and you go to 4, small letter A, it reads, no person shall be employed as, comma, or perform the functions and activities of, comma, a security officer unless the person is registered with the superintendent as required in this section. So what you need to get is your SORA card. And look, you don't have to be employed to provide services. You're only going to be employed if you're getting paid for it, but you're not going to get paid for it in terms of this exemption, particularly if you're doing it to help out your church or your synagogue or your mosque, right? But even in these other places that will allow an individual to provide security for free, they're providing security still while attending or being in that particular area, then they have in writing the ability to do it. And if they're Sora, they can provide security as permitted here. And they have their carry license, and they have to stick within the dictates of that sign. Also, you could get individual permission in writing, if you wish, from places you might regularly go to if you have that Sora card. So, you know, the ranges will do Sora training. And I know you can get Sora training at We Shoot, right? The great range in Lakewood. And I know many other facilities offer the Sora training. And you get your Sora card. And if this is utilized by folks, it can maximize the ability to carry. And actually, if the signs are done properly, according to the statute, put in writing to say exactly what is being permitted and how it's done, then those signs could counter the signs of Murphy and Company that they're giving away for free, saying no guns allowed in this place. Now, as we talked about on other shows, the no guns in this place create a danger to those places because they're saying these places are unprotected and they don't want guns there. Because, you know, criminals ignore the signs. So this way, they're a vulnerable place where you can have a greater chance of injury because they prohibit guns. Whereas any of these other places that want to embrace this, where they're encouraging individuals who are licensed and legal to carry, even in a sensitive place where they may be located and be the entity in charge of security for that, they're going to be safer, those places. They're actually going to increase safety. And they're going to send a message to the bad guys that this is not the place to commit your crimes, to commit violence, because individuals here are providing armed security and you don't even know who they are, but they're there. So think about which place is safer and where you're going to be more protected. Think about the message that can be sent. And this is an interesting loophole that individuals should think about taking advantage of if they're in a position to do so. And as I was talking about, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, which is, of course, a great sponsor of our show, and we appreciate that, they're the ones litigating over sensitive places. Hopefully they'll knock them out. And we're making great progress there. They're also currently litigating against the mag ban and the assault firearm ban, so-called assault firearm, you know, which is really nothing more than a modern sporting rifle that the antis decide to pick on. And they're going to be very shortly doing their arguments on summary judgment motions, so we should see some results there on this great legal challenge. And the association is in the forefront protecting your gun rights. They have a full-time paid lobbyist in Trenton. It's really important that you belong and become a member of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. Go to anjrpc.org to join. Make sure you're a member. Be part of the solution as we fight the fight in New Jersey. Also, let me mention We Shoot yet again. We Shoot is that great range in Lakewood, New Jersey. It's so convenient, right off the parkway, easy to get to right there in central Jersey. It's a great resource, and they are a great bunch of folks. I love all the folks at We Shoot. They treat everybody like family. It's just a great experience. They have an excellent first-rate range facility. They have gun rentals and training. You can get your courses, get your C-Care there so you can get your carry. I know I did. It's really a great place, and they have all kinds of fun events. It is a resource that you can take advantage of, and I highly, highly suggest you do. We have to maintain our places to shoot. They are a resource. Without a place to shoot, how are we going to practice? It is pretty basic. So check out WeShootUSA.com. You'll see their great website. They have magnificent photography. They pride themselves on that. They are just a dynamic range that is reaching out to the entire community, and they are making a statement by getting more gun owners and folks becoming first-time gun owners and learning about guns the right way from the beginning. I'm really proud of We Shoot. They are doing wonders for the Second Amendment because, you know, we win this one gun owner at a time. Every new gun owner has a vested interest in our Second Amendment. So check out We Shoot at WeShootUSA.com. Let me also now shamelessly plug my book, New Jersey Gun Law. It's the Bible of New Jersey gun law. If you don't have a copy, shame on you, because it is a user manual that every gun owner should have in New Jersey. I wrote it to be user-friendly. It's over 500 pages. It's 120 topics, all question and answer. With that book, you can help yourself to keep your rights and stay out of jail and don't become a victim of New Jersey gun laws. And when you get the book, scan the cover. There's a QR right on the cover, and you get to subscribe for free to the subscriber database, archive, etc. You're going to get email alerts of law changes. You're going to be able to get all the updates. The book's going to stay current. So once you get that base book, you're set, and you'll be able to know the laws. My book is used by New Jersey State Police Firearms Unit. I know that for a fact. Talk to them about it. So many agencies, lawyers, judges, but most importantly, by thousands of gun owners like yourself throughout New Jersey so that they can stay on the right side of the law and not get entrapped by New Jersey's insane matrix of stupid-ass gun laws. That's why I wrote it, folks. I wrote it for you. So go to evannappin.com. You'll see the big orange book there. Just click it and order a copy for yourself today at evannappin.com. Hey, let me tell you about the latest from the angry senile sock puppet, who is also our president, who now just put forward another attack on gun owners. And this one is the new ATF rule. Him and his co-conspirator, the Attorney General Garland, have now created yet another weaponization of the gun laws and the abuse of administrative agency law and code promulgation by now making it unlawful to sell a firearm for a profit unless you're a dealer. It's really that simple. Now, of course, they're saying, oh, no, it's the gun show loophole. Oh, you mean the non-existent gun show loophole? That one? Because dealers have always had to do NICS checks at gun shows. Closes the gun show loophole. Now, what it does is it's an attack on individuals that were making lawful private sales that have been allowed, you know, since the founding of our country, basically. Now, in New Jersey, Murphy prohibited all private sales, even between family members, without getting permits and licenses to do it. So you have to go through a dealer unless you're an immediate family member. So you may think, well, this doesn't really apply to me in New Jersey. I already have the hammer down on my head because of Murphy. But in fact, it does. It does because the reason for this rule is to get universal background checks to force as many gun sales into dealer books so that they're trackable. And as you know, the Biden administration violated the law by databasing literally almost a billion gun transaction records. I mean, we know the four words about registration and the problem of it, right? It goes like this: legislation, then registration, then confiscation, then extermination. And that's a pattern we see. It's repeated throughout history. If you don't know that, then you don't know history. So we have to stop registration. Registration is a problem. And this is the gateway. This is their plan. So if you stop private sales throughout the country, if you make it so that every transaction is recorded and known and able to be databased, This is their plan. Plus, it turns thousands and thousands and thousands of otherwise law-abiding citizens into criminals. So it is definitely a big problem. And let me just show you how big a problem it is. So here's an article right from Fox News, and it's by Bradford Betts, and it says, "Gun groups slam Biden over the new ATF rule." So this is not just me recognizing the threat and how serious it is. Let me read you some of these things. For example, the National Association for Gun Rights told Fox Digital that the new rule will, quote, outlaw virtually all private sales of firearms between individuals. Imagine that, right? And then the Second Amendment Institute in the article said that the new rule is another example of them going beyond the statutory authority for political purposes. It infringes upon the rights of law-abiding citizens and adds unnecessary burdens to those seeking to exercise their Second Amendment rights. Gunners of America director Aidan Johnson, he said that the Biden administration is weaponizing every tool in their toolbox to intimidate, harass, and criminalize gun owners with unlawful executive actions. Called it backdoor gun universal gun registration, which is exactly what it is. The Second Amendment Foundation founder and executive VP Alan Gottlieb called the new rule a continuation of the Biden war on guns. Yet another example of Congress getting around Congress and the lawmaking responsibility of Congress. And the National Rifle Association issued a statement. They said they're already working to use all means available to stop this unlawful rule. It's a serious, serious infringement. It's a serious problem. It's another move by Biden and his cronies to curtail the Second Amendment while he neglects all his other responsibilities on every other issue, whether it's immigration, whether it's crime, whether it's the economy. You name it, he drops the ball on all that, but he comes after us with a vengeance. So beware. And let me tell you something else. I got an interesting letter, and this was from David Watson, who has yet another interesting point. And like I said, if you think this doesn't apply to you in New Jersey, well, let's say that you sell guns on GunBroker in New Jersey. And you say, hey, I put it up there, but I always go through a dealer. Even though I sell it, I don't actually do the transfer. Well, guess what, folks? That doesn't matter. Because as David Watson points out, the new rule on page 461, by the way, the rule is only 466 pages long for just this rule, says that a sign that a person is engaged in the business to, quote, predominantly earn a profit. And then it defines predominantly earn a profit. Presumptions that a person has the intent to predominantly earn a profit makes and maintains records to document, track, or calculate profits and losses from firearms repetitively purchased for resale. So what does David point out? That the IRS requires recording of your gun broker sales. And the BTF will say that that's presumptive proof that you're violating the BATF rule because you're in the business to predominantly earn a profit. And BTF says you're presumed guilty of being an unlicensed gun dealer until proven innocent because you're presumed to be in the business to predominantly earn a profit. So even by selling on GunBroker, you may face problems under this, even trying to do that lawfully in New Jersey. This rule is terrible. It's a march down a horrible path. We have to replace this guy in 2024, as if I have to tell you that. Worst president in the history of America. He makes Millard Fillmore look good. So, what about the GOFU of the week? That's right, folks, the gun owner fuck up. You know what the GOFU is? That is a very expensive lesson and costly lesson learned by somebody else that you get to learn very cheap, and that is for free by listening to me. So let me tell you this week's GoFu. So I have this fellow, and he got an expungement. Now, expungements are great. Expungements can remove your criminal record. And remember, there's so many offenses you can get into trouble for. Many and most are nonviolent, and it doesn't matter. You know, you're prohibited in New Jersey if you have any of these offenses, no matter how long ago they were. You need to get your record expunged. We do a lot of expungements in our office. It's great to get rights restoration. But this fellow went and got an expungement, not through our office, but through another. But doesn't matter. He got expungement. However, he wasn't told by his lawyer that the state police are currently negligent in removing the database entry of the expunged record. The state police are currently in a class action lawsuit because tens of thousands of individuals have been waiting well over a year, almost 2 years. I've lost track of how long. Of the state police to just do their job. Do their job and have the record scrubbed from the database. Because when you get an expungement, you have an order of expungement. And the order says your record is clear. Your matters that were expunged are deemed not to have occurred. It's legally, you're no longer convicted. You're good to go as far as the law is concerned, but the next step is the state police clearing the database that's tied to NICS, that database. And because the state police are taking so long, this fellow didn't know. And he said, hey, I'm good. I got my expungement, right? And he didn't know that the state police haven't cleared the database. So he had been issued his permits because he showed the expungement. And the permit issuing authorities saw the expungement and granted his permits. And guess what? He went to a dealer and he went to buy a gun and NICS denied him. And NICS is, of course, done through the New Jersey State Police. And the New Jersey State Police are the point of contact, the POC, for NICS in Jersey. And when they denied him, not only could he not buy that gun, but when you get denied by the Jersey State Police on NICS, they contact the local authorities that issued him his permits. And the authorities took away his license and revoked his license that they issued, even though they knew he was expunged, which means he didn't have the prohibitor, but they didn't care because the database hadn't been corrected by the state police, who are the ones who denied him. When they're the ones who can't get their act together to actually clear the record, when he's in fact not a convicted person anymore of anything, but it didn't matter. And it had this cascading effect of having granted licenses revoked and a NICS denial because he didn't know to wait for the state police to clear the record. And that, folks, is your GoFu of the week. And this is Evan Knappen reminding you that gun laws don't protect honest citizens from criminals. They protect criminals from honest citizens.
Gun Lawyer is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. Reach us by emailing Evan at gun.lawyer. The information and opinions in this broadcast do not constitute legal advice. Consult a licensed attorney in your state.